This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Strolling back to throw some shade, Kiki with the gaze. It's time to drag her, time to drag.
Boy, oh boy, oh boy, in the name of the wigs, the shoes, and the holy pads, we have the second coming of Britney.
Yeah. Yes, we have Derek Barry with us today.
On What Drag Her, the one and only Drag Race podcast.
Yes, Derek. Hello.
Hi, good morning or afternoon or good night, whatever one anyone prefers.
Good afternoon, distinguished panel of guests. Derek, how's your weekend?
It's so great. I'm excited to be back with you guys and talk all things drag.
Oh. Yes. We're very excited to have you back. So you said that you had a gig that was canceled. So are you doing gigs again?
Yeah, it was actually supposed to be a gig for the Biden campaign in Phoenix, because it's obviously a swing state. Mm-hmm. And they were just waiting for the funding to come in for it. And there was supposed to be about almost 10 drag queens on it. Mm-hmm. And it's a client that has a place in Arkansas that I've been to before. He has a restaurant and a hotel out there, but he also has a place in Phoenix. And we did a big Christmas party with him last year. And so I don't know what happened, but it was postponed to November, but now it's going to be in Arkansas instead of in Phoenix. So it will be less about the campaign and more about hopefully a celebration of turning of power.
I fear about planning things as a celebration because in 2016, I agreed to do a stand-up show called Nasty Women, a celebration of our new president, Hillary Clinton.
Wow.
It was the day after Election Day. And let me tell you, it was like a fucking funeral. It was the saddest show I've ever done.
Whoa.
It was a bunch of sad people packed in the Virgil in Silver Lake, just like kind of standing shoulder to shoulder with the most somber looks on their faces. And all the comics were backstage upstairs and we're like, should we do material? We can't do material. So none of us did material. We just like talked to these people. It was like, honestly, like therapeutic, but grim.
Right. Grim. Wow. Well, that's why we're killing it. We're doing everything we can this year. I mean, the early voting numbers are historic.
Yes.
And I'm not going to count my chickens yet, but, you know, people are activated and I'm excited.
Yeah,
I'm absolutely excited too, but don't count your chickens before you buy a farm.
Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't try me, because you are not that kind of girl.
Mm-mm, you gotta get that farm first.
So, Derek, I mean, you obviously have been the star of everything you touch, but you have really been a star in Vegas Review.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about this experience and what it was like when they were like, I guess tell us first about just doing the Vegas show.
Oh my gosh. Well, this is the third Vegas show I've been a part of. It's the second one that I've been a part of from the beginning. Because when I first moved to Vegas, it was for Lacage. And that was celebrating its 20th anniversary when I joined. So this is obviously so different because it was brand new.
Wait, real quick, was it the play Lacage or was it a review of the
play
Lacage?
It was called An Evening at Lacage. So it was just celebrity impersonators, though. But they got the whole idea, obviously, from the stage show.
Mm-hmm.
And that opened in 85 out here at the Riviera. And that ran until 2009-ish.
Okay.
So I was in that one for about 4 years, and then I did America's Got Talent, and then Divas opened at the Imperial Palace, and I was a part of that. So for this one
Frank
to come
Marino
in.
That's the Frank Marino one, right?
That was Frank Marino's Divas, yeah.
Yeah.
So when this show came about, because Coco Montrese and I had already left Divas a couple years prior to it closing, and I heard that they were talking about doing a RuPaul's Drag Race Vegas show, and nobody had asked me about doing it yet. So I was like, how the hell is this getting discussed and I'm not being discussed in it?
Yes.
but I feel like that was the blessing, because a lot of the people that had heard about it or that thought they were going to be in it, or like Chanel went on Hey Queen and said that she was hosting it and she ended up becoming an understudy. So I'm so glad I wasn't attached to it from the very beginning, at least by my knowledge, because I ended up being a full-time cast member in the show and I was like so excited. But the building of the show was unlike anything I've ever done. I mean, we had rehearsals in LA for a week, and then we rehearsed the entire month of January out here in Vegas. And filming, I've never filmed something like that. I mean, besides Drag Race, but it's so different because this was building a show. It wasn't a competition. Nobody's getting voted off, even though some of the cast members probably wish I would have been. but it was very easy to just film while we were building a show, and fun, so fun.
So it wasn't tiring. I'm guessing, was it a little hard to be like, I'm working so many things right now?
Yeah, it definitely felt like double shifts, because it's one thing to rehearse for the live show, but it's another thing to be on for the camera. And we had to basically decide what we're going to put out there. I mean, we all had our individual storylines, but then we all have to have some sort of, I don't want to say drama together, but I mean, nobody wants to watch this as a documentary. They already have Work the World on WOW Presents Plus. This is VH1, where people are used to, you know, confrontation resolution, conflict resolution, conflama, you know, all those things that we love to watch Housewives for. We had to provide that, you know? Yeah. And so it was very easy for me to kick it off with Naomi, because we really did have unresolved tension or issues, and we were getting along fine in rehearsals. But it's another thing, you know, when we're drinking at my house party, I'm like, well, let me bring this shit up and see what this bitch has to say. And we actually got to grow so much from that experience. So that's I wouldn't change it. I loved it.
God, why did they show us so little of that house party? What did we miss?
Every week, Mono has been like, I want to see more of that party. There's things we're not seeing from that party.
What is it? I'm surprised. I know. It really was the kickoff of everything, because it started kind of, it started problems, obviously, with Naomi in Nebraska, with me and Naomi, a continuing problem. And then Asia was very confused, because she's like, wait, I thought you guys were friends. Why is this happening? And then everyone else was just like, whoa, what's going on? We thought you guys liked each other. And I think that they wanted everyone to come over to my house and drag. And the cast members were like, absolutely not. Mm-hmm. We wouldn't do that in real life.
In real life. Yeah, that's
weird. We're not going to do
it.
Yeah. So
that's some Tu Wong Fu bullshit where you're like, nuh-uh.
Yeah. It just
not going across the country and drag.
Yeah. It wouldn't happen in normal life. So they're like, okay, well, if this is a reality show, then we have to be real and we wouldn't go to Derek's and drag, which I respected. But now that it got cut or, you know, shortened, I'm like, if we would have been in drag, they would have never been able to cut it. But they wanted more drag for the first episode.
That's very peculiar to me, to ask drag queens to go to a house party and drag. Like, that's because drag is an art form and then a job. Like, I'm not going to go to a party and then like pull out my portable mic and do stand up.
Yeah.
People would be like, Nicole can't come out anymore. She has to stay at home.
People would love it. I actually think people would love that.
I would love that if you had one of those kindergarten. Remember those echoey like kindergarten mics that are like
a Fisher Price mic where I was like, all right, guys. guys. And I have a tiny microphone. I'm like, guys, time for the stand-up show.
But I guess they wanted the visual stimulus, but
they did. Yeah, because they knew the whole first episode was mainly building the show. So that's all of us at rehearsals. You know? And so that's why the casino scene got pushed up, because they needed some drag in the first episode. But another thing too is like, when, like, my house is so dimly lit. We call it the Blue Bayou because I love Disneyland and the restaurant there attached to Pirates of the Caribbean. And so it's very lit low and like really peaceful. And when they come in, they put big lights, all like rope lights on the ceiling. And so it's scary to be a drag queen and know that you're going to step into lighting like that.
That's not lit for you. Yeah.
That's not lit. Yeah. Like, we need ring lights attached to our, our waist, you know, coming up from a pole on our face.
Right. Because a beautiful face becomes the aggro crag real quick.
Yeah. It's scary. So I think that was another thing too, as the girls, because that's my first thing is, well, I don't ever like to go out anywhere that's not lit for me in drag. So when you think of going to someone's home, you don't think of drag. And I think that was really where the, probably most of the concern was, is like, well, we can't control that, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. I have a trillion questions, but one question I have to ask of you is, what was it when the episodes were airing, was your drama in the past, or was it opening some old drama wounds?
I was good with Naomi the whole time after the party, because we did, obviously there's a lot that, you know, the viewers didn't see, but we came to a much better understanding of where we were in the times where we hurt each other's feelings, and we're much different people now, and we've grown so much as individuals. I think maybe, and I can't speak for Asia, but I do think that Asia watching it was probably a little hard for her. Because there were so many opinions thrown her way from not only the cast, but obviously outside viewers. I can handle anyone saying anything about me because it's nothing I haven't heard before. But this is a very different situation for a lot of the other cast members who maybe went through Drag Race, completely loved everyone, you know, idolizes them, kind of like what Latrice went through on All Stars. Where she's like, I'm Latrice, I'm America's sweetheart, everyone loves me. And then she was getting some sort of backlash from the fans. And it's confusing when watching it, because you think, oh, well, I'm still the same person, but people are having this different opinion of me now. And I think that was probably a little hard for Asia, because she separated herself so much from us that people thought, okay, well, now you're not being professional. Or now you're not acting as a host of the show that's supposed to bring people together. But you can't tell someone how to feel in situations like this. And that was one thing I wasn't ever going to do, is tell her what she had to do. I just have to give my opinion on what I think she could do to move past situations. But when you're in the moment filming it, you're not thinking about it airing. You're not thinking about, let me play at this angle, because when it airs, I want the audience to feel this certain way about me. And I also wasn't willing to be a part of a show that was going to be called boring or be canceled because people didn't think that it was anything special. So I would rather have people say, you know, Derek's the Lisa Rinna of Drag Race Vegas, because I think that's a compliment.
I do too.
There has to be somebody who stirs the pot a little bit. Like, if you watch Drag Race, RuPaul stirs the pot most of the time. Like, if the girls aren't stirring when she does her walk arounds and goes, why do you think that's a good choice? That's stirring the pot, putting you a little bit in your head.
Exactly.
You need, like, nobody wants to watch RuPaul's best friend race.
No.
It's not interesting.
No.
And people would be upset about it, even though they're like, why is everyone so mean? It's like, not everyone's not being mean. They're just being adults sequestered together in a high pressure situation where some people know they need to make moves to make television.
Yeah, mm-hmm. absolutely. Absolutely. And I think that those are the most entertaining characters. And those are the characters that I've seen continuously work. And mm-hmm. I want to be liked. But as a Britney Spears impersonator, right away, I'm not liked in the drag community and also by people that just don't like Britney Spears. So I don't really care what people think about me on a TV show. They're watching my TV show. It's not the other way around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And funnily enough, I feel like this year has been your redemption year.
Yeah. I'm very happy.
I
love it.
Right. Like, and like, obviously, like that's what's going to happen when you go on the show. You unfortunately are going to get one of two edits.
Yeah.
You're going to get redeemed or you're going to get like the other. And I feel like you have really come around as, I don't know, just a real favorite in even though in the past you were painted as the real villain of season eight.
Yeah.
I think edits kind of get somewhat funky sometimes. Like you were talking about Latrice. I think Latrice had a funky edit a little bit on that show.
Yeah.
And I think it might've been that season. Just there wasn't enough drama. So then it's like they cut into it with editing. I like someone who's like, oh, I'll give you something to edit. It's the same thing when I do Nailed It. Like people are like, are the cakes that bad? I'm like, yeah, they're terrible. But like when you eat something terrible in front of your friend, you're not going to be like, there's cameras there. So like, I'm going to amp it up a little bit.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
You're performing.
Yes.
Reality is not reality.
No.
When there's cameras there, you're performing to an audience that's later going to see this reality.
Right. And I just, like I said, I don't want to be boring. And there's enough drag content that is documentary style. You can go to Wow Presents Plus to check things out. And I just think that on VH1, we would have ended up on the cutting room floor if we were all best friends and we hugged and held hands and, you know, cried on opening night together and braided each other's hair at my party. It's
truly.
I'm not interested in seeing that on Housewives. And I watch all the Housewives franchises, every city. And there's episodes where I'm like, God, that was a boring one because nobody fought.
Yeah.
And it's not that I want people to be, you know, throwing punches, but I want people to have disagreements that actually elevate a situation to something where they're learning from each other.
There were so many stories
where they can grow.
Yeah. It's also like scripted television. Every scripted show you see, there is conflict and resolution, like you said earlier.
Yep.
It's so funny to me that people are like, I don't like it when people are mean. It's like, yes, you do.
You do.
Like, we love Cardi B because if you've ever seen a Love and Hip Hop reunion, Cardi B's screaming at someone and like throwing a shoe and you're like, oh boy, what a treat. I wish I could throw my shoe at somebody. Like, it's just, it's like almost aspirational. You're like, I wish I was liberated enough to do that.
I'm now laughing because I'm thinking of Cardi B tweeting at the fucking Tiger King lady. Bitch, you killed your goddamn husband.
Bitch, you killed
your husband. I know.
Well, she's so funny. She says the shit you wish you could say. Yeah. And that's like, I feel like that's the magic of reality. You're like, oh, they're just like me, except really amped up a little bit more than I'd ever do.
So funny. Well, speaking of that, what stories, obviously there were so many stories on the show, but what stories do you think we would have seen more of, Derek, had the show had more episodes?
Oh, gosh. Well,
you know, there's obviously you. There's some stories with you and there's stories with Evie, et cetera.
I think that... Well, I really wanted to find Vanjie Love. So I would have loved to have
seen... Yes, you did. And I really loved that.
I would have loved to seen that come to fruition because I think that Jose is such a great guy. And then Vanjie is just such a charismatic performer and caring person. And even though it was just... I think they were on a 3-month contract because then they were going to go do Work the World. They had the option to come back in the show. So really, you could make Vegas your home if you wanted to. Nobody was forced to, but obviously it was encouraged. If you wanted to stay, you can stay. And so I think that finding someone for Vanjie is not easy because Vanjie is such a big personality. And I thought like, okay, cool. Well, let's try to set her up with someone that's not in, that doesn't do drag. You know, let's try that first. And then, you know, she wasn't into that. And then Cameron's not enough. of a personality. So it's really that balance of, you know, he's going to need to find someone that makes him laugh out mm-hmm. of drag, but then can still be entertained by him in drag. Mm-hmm. And that's a hard
yeah.
thing to find in life.
Watching mm-hmm. Vanjie, I was like, oh my God, I see myself.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, I need someone who's like, who understands what I do.
Yeah.
That off stage I'm a different person, but I still need you to be funny and think mm-hmm. I'm funny. It's a very complex thing when you are a personality, but then also are a person. Because yeah. there are some mm-hmm. personalities who are just like loud all the time where you're like, oh boy, do you ever turn off? But it's like Vanjie does turn off.
Yeah.
And then every Silky cameo made me laugh so hard.
Oh my God.
Because Silky was like the neighbor who she was
it.
Like, what's her name on Full House? Kimmy Gibbler. She's like the yeah. Kimmy Gibbler uh-huh. of the show. She like appears on the phone. She's like, what happened? Yeah.
She's fucking eating your sandwich in the fridge that yes. you were going to eat the same day.
It made me laugh so hard. The show is well done, I think. I enjoyed it.
It's really well done.
Yeah, I was really happy with it. I think that they're, when the show is back up and running, if, you know, January allows us to do that, like right now we're selling tickets starting January 28th. So if that does happen for January, I really hope there's, you know, cameras back to mm-hmm. pick up where we left off. Because we got cut short filming about 6 weeks. And then right. that's how, you know, home footage got used. And mm-hmm. some things were dragged out longer than they would have been had they mm-hmm. had the extra 6 weeks of totally. Of their content.
Do you totally. Think the Asia drama was dragged out a little bit? I thought it was dragged out a little. How long was she in the other room?
It was weeks.
Dang!
It was okay. weeks, yeah.
Okay.
I'm trying to think at least a month. Well, a few weeks. I don't want to say it's a month. It was definitely more than 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. It was 2 weeks too long, though.
Right.
Yeah. You know? I also thought it was a little too long, but then I also get it because mm-hmm. I'm an extremist. Like personally, I'm like in fourth grade, my teacher told me I wrote too big. So then I wrote so small that she needed a magnifying glass for her old ass eyes. And I was like, don't fucking tell me I write too big. That's how yeah. I fucking want to write. They give you spaces. I'm gonna use the whole thing. Yeah. So if someone's like, Nicole, I don't want to get ready near you, I'd be like, oh, you don't want to get ready near me? Well, then you're not going to be near me.
Right. I'll go, and you'll never I'll go see outside. Me again.
Yeah. You will do some petty shit. Yes. You will. You will.
Yes.
You'll be like, oh, this guy said I would look cute if I wore like a dress. So I wore 10 dresses.
I wore 10 dresses right on top of each other. And I said, do I look cute? No. I get Asia doing that.
Yeah.
But also I was like, I also have people in my life who are like, girl, you're being literally insane. And I just wanted someone to say those exact words. Like, not like, I understand where you're coming from. Like, be like, girl, this is wild. Mm-hmm. You're being literally wild right now.
Well, mm-hmm. and I thought that I wasn't there for Naomi's first finding out that Asia was moving dressing rooms, because that just happened when the two of them were there. And I found out at work, like coming into work, what the hell's going on? So watching it, I'm like, Naomi gave Asia the chance to talk, like to stay, and she wasn't having it. She's like, no, mm-hmm. I'm negative. Nobody wants to be around me. That was not what was said. And so mm-hmm. I think that when someone is in their feelings, they're going to attach other feelings to it mm-hmm. and make it bigger so that they have more of a reason to decide what they're deciding. But that was not the issue. And I really thought bringing it up in front of everyone was the right thing to do, because it was being talked about behind Asia's back mm-hmm. To other people, as well as what you did see. And mm-hmm. so I just thought this is a great time for Asia to say, oh, you know what? I didn't even realize I was doing that. I'm sorry. And I'll watch it from now on. I can't tell you that it's going to be perfect because I'm not a perfect person, but I am going to at least acknowledge that this is affecting your space as well as maybe other people's. So mm-hmm. let me work on it. And there was nothing like that. It was just shut down, not willing to even see that there was an issue.
Right.
And that was what was hard for me, because I'm watching Naomi not get ready at work. And that's my friend from my season, whether or not we were fighting at one point or not. That's a girl that I went through season 8 with, that I've only done with 11 people. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. that was my time to have a friendship with Naomi in our new found relationship. And she wasn't getting ready at work. And I just had never been, I've been in shows here for almost 17 years in Vegas. And I've never seen someone not get ready in the dressing rooms at the theater. So mm-hmm. I just thought, this is not cool. I don't like it. It doesn't make me feel good. And I know Naomi's bothered by it because she's telling me. So mm-hmm. if Naomi wouldn't have told me on camera, I would have handled it a completely different way. But once that's out there mm-hmm. on camera, it needs to be dealt with again on camera.
Right.
And I know I could have possibly handled it differently. I don't regret it because I think that sometimes people do need to see or hear what people are saying about them so that they can learn from the way others view them. I mean, mm-hmm. I can learn from that as well. So I just think that, yeah, I could pull anyone to the side, but I'm sorry. That's probably not going to happen.
Right. Derek, of course. And we thank you very much. I mean, truly.
I could pull you to the side. We could have a private conversation, but that's probably not going to happen. I just.
If you don't win a GLAAD award for gay excellence, a gay Pulitzer. Now, I have a question. When you signed on to doing the live show, did you also have to agree to doing the TV show? Or it was just like, look, you got to do both.
We had no idea. I know I had no idea. So I found out about the show in July of last year, end of July. And I was so excited. I'm like, oh my God, it's actually happening. They were announcing it at DragCon. I had to go shoot promos in LA. And I was so excited about it. And then one day I got an email and they just said, hey, we need this signed back today.
Damn.
And I'm like, you need what signed back today? And they said, oh, this is for the reality show. And I'm like, a reality show?
What?
And I just had no clue. And I didn't even read through all the paperwork. I was fine. Because absolutely. I mean, the answer is always yes. Always. I don't have to be asked twice.
Do you think all the other girls were just as excited? Because I obviously... But
definitely
that's what I
want
to know. Like, were they like, girl, if you're doing the live show, you got to sign this.
I think it was kind of, yeah. Because there's only six of us in the main cast and then mm-hmm. the four understudies. And even at one point they were talking to the understudies as well, but they weren't going to be at work every night. Mm-hmm. Coco was the only one that actually performed on the stage of the four. And she's the one that I'm closest with. So mm-hmm. that's why anytime I could have Coco around, I always invited her or wanted her there.
Mm-hmm.
But I just think some of the girls, some thought it was just going to be just like Work the World docuseries. And mm-hmm. they're all friends and they love each other and they hug and laugh and all that. And so by throwing me into it, they knew that I hadn't worked with a couple of them. And you really don't know what to expect with me, maybe. So they're like, perfect.
Stunning, flawless victory. Well, how does the understudy thing work? Like, is it just like I'm sick, or is it like, do they have a definitive date when they get to work, or what?
Yeah. So Coco filled in for Naomi. She was Naomi's understudy and my understudy. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't planning on taking time off. I tried to take, I think it was Valentine's Day. I got an offer to go to a show and they said, no, we really need you. We would like you to not take any time off the first month. And I was like, oh shit. Okay. Well, I guess here I am. And so mm-hmm. I didn't schedule things. And Evie, because she had just won previously, she had the most gigs that she had to still fulfill. Cause when mm-hmm. you're on Drag Race, people will book you a year out.
Mm-hmm.
And so she had things that she had to still go do. But yeah, some of the girls learned their tracks, cause each person at least did understudy for one person. Mm-hmm. And actually Cameron tried to call in sick one night and her understudy didn't know the track. And so Cameron had to go to work.
Damn.
Which is funny because those understudies were at all of our rehearsals in January. And so I'm like, how did you not learn the track? But, you know, there's professional people and then there's unprofessional
ones. Ooh, I want to know names, but we're being recorded and I fully respect if you're, if you don't want to give me a name.
I respect that.
I'll ask you after.
I guess I have a question. Oh, you know what? We should take a break before we spill more tea. What do you say?
Yeah, let's take a break.
Yum, 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 yum. I like to eat food, but you know, it's hard. Let's be real. Food is confusing and it happens 3 times a day. You want me to cook 3? I'm offended. I'm aghast. I'm agog. The gall, the gumption, the nerve, the audacity, and the cheek, all of it. I don't like it. But now I'm calm because I use Factor Meals. Factor Meals are available in just 2 minutes. They come right to my door and they have really popular options like Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, Vegan, Veggie. You can get any kind of delicious meal delivered to your door. I love them. I've been using them for over a year, way before I started talking about them on the podcast. They help me feel full, satiated. There's no mess. It comes never frozen. It's always fresh. It's my favorite meal solution. I've said it a million times. I come home after a night of hanging or dancing and I eat a Factor meal. Like, to me, that's the ultimate endorsement. These meals are so yummy that I'm able to kick a craving for a much naughtier meal and come home and eat something I know will be good for my body. So head to factormeals.com/dragher50 and use code dragher50 to get 50% off your first month. Plus 20% off your next month. That's a lot of money. That's code DRAGHER50 at factormeals.com. Go get into it. Factormeals.com/DRAGHER50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. Ooh, it's heating up, baby. That means it's time to make plans for summer. Now, this summer, you could be a basic bitch and you could go to New York or you could go to LA or you could go to, I don't know, Mykonos. Bitch, shut your basic ass down and shut the fuck up before I get you down. What I'm really saying is you need to go somewhere fun. If you have pride, you need to go somewhere that is an adventure filled with pride. I'm not talking about the same places that you've seen on Instagram already. No! Don't you have an imagination, girl? Get your ass to Provincetown, because Provincetown is not only queer Mecca, it's a place where cultural diversity takes pride. Come on! Do you like glamour, dining, dancing, entertainment, hiking, biking, beaches, and more? I know I do. That's why I'm going to P-Town this summer, baby. P-Town is so fun. If you haven't been, you're really missing out. It is, has a small town vibe, but there's stuff going on 24/7 like it is a big city. You get the best of both worlds. You live your bungalow fantasy. You get to go out. You get to see drag. You get to be amongst all the queers. And you get to do it in a cute, beautiful little town that has events like Pride, Girl Splash, Bear Week, Family Week, Carnival, and Trans Week. I love P-Town. And if you want a good time, you need to plan your trip now. So sashay your way to ptowntourism.com, the official guide to Provincetown. That's ptowntourism.com. And learn more about what kind of fantasies you can unfold this summer. Better do it quick before everything gets booked up, diva. Go to ptowntourism.com.
Bring back my break, which again, I know doesn't make any sense, but I've been saying it for a very long time. Internet, leave me alone.
Yes.
I love Coco Montrese. I got to see her perform at Charlie's.
Oh.
And
yes,
you were with me, Mono. It's when I hosted the Gay Porn Awards.
Oh, and also we saw Vanjie there. And I was going to say, Vanjie is stunningly beautiful in
person.
Yes,
she's so cute.
Like, maybe more so than film. But I mean, she's beautiful, obviously, everywhere. Mm-hmm. But I was like, I was aghast when I was like, that is one of the most handsome men I've seen ever.
Yeah.
And we were at Charlie's drinking grape vodka sodas and Coco was slaying.
Coco was so good. I was like,
I love her.
I love Coco so much. Coco had no idea who I was. And I was like, please take a picture with me. Just like very gracious, like, okay.
And we fell in love with a go-go boy with just the yummiest body.
I love Charlie's. Charlie's is so much fun.
Yeah. I was so happy they let us shoot there too, because not everywhere in Vegas will let you shoot. And all those scenes we have to do with no audio, like no music. So they had to have no music at a nightclub, which, I mean, not a lot of nightclubs are going to say yes to that. But we shot it earlier in the evening, and I think it was on a karaoke night. So right after we were done filming, they started the karaoke night. But Charlie's is super fun to go to. I did Pride there, I think, 2 years ago, and it was packed. I mean, it's just, it's a fun, it's a really fun bar in Vegas. If you want more of like a low key type of place versus a big, huge nightclub, you know?
You know what's funny? A thing that comes up in this episode a lot is like dating a drag queen. It's hard to date another drag queen. Obviously, you have expertise with that. what tips do you have on like that? And has it been tough?
I think that the most important thing is making sure that if you are dating a drag queen, that you have different styles and aesthetics, because it's really hard if you're trying to go for the same gig. And, I mean, when we first met Mac, the last thing he would ever have done was drag, but it was such a great opportunity presented to go film Drag Race and be a makeover contestant. And he was paired with Alaska. And I'm like, how would you not want to pursue that? Because that is something that I'll never be a part of. Like, my legacy is going to be female impersonation, celebrity impersonation. That's what I'm going to be known for forever. And Nebraska was created by Alaska, who ended up winning All-Stars. So it's like, we're just such different types of drag. And I think that as long as you're encouraging your partner to do great things and they're doing the same for you, then you can make a relationship work if you're in the same field.
So speaking of Nebraska, there was a fight at the casino where Asia was like, why are you here? Why are you here? Were you trying to shoehorn Nebraska into scenes so Nebraska got a little bit of airtime so then Nebraska could make more coin on some gigs?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Of course. I'm a pusher.
That's a person you love. Of course.
I'm a pusher.
Yeah.
My favorite part of the answer was there was no pause.
No hesitation.
Yes, that's absolutely fully what I was doing. I can't believe you asked me if that's what I was doing.
Yes.
I'm offended you didn't know. I'm just kidding. No, but for real though, the girls can't really attest to this because they're not from Vegas. They didn't live here. They're all transplants. They're from LA, or Evie is from Colorado, and Asia from Texas. So nobody lived here prior to the making of this show, and I do. So in a real circumstance, I would have Nick in Nebraska everywhere with me, whether Mac is in drag or out of drag. If I'm in drag doing a gig, then they're with me. And that's something I had to explain to production, is like, yes, I understand that you're following six drag queens that are the mains, but you're also following my life, and my life consists of the three of us. So it just wouldn't be natural for me to not include them in certain times. Like, I wouldn't have gone to Charlie's with just Vanjie. It wouldn't have happened. I would have taken Nick and Mac, and I did. And so I think they started to get it. And I definitely thought that, because of what happened at the party, and, you know, Naomi and Nebraska kind of like got started on the wrong foot, I thought it was a fun time for us to all be in drag and then come together. And like I said, conflict resolution. That's really what I was expecting, is I'm sorry. I'm sorry too. Hug. And, you know, let's move on until the next issue. And so it didn't get to happen that way. And I think that what's funny is Asia had such a big problem with Nebraska getting involved in my discussion with Naomi, but she had no problem inserting herself when it came to Nebraska and Naomi having their own conversation at the casino. And that's a little hypocritical, but I understand she's, you know, coming for her friend. But if people understand that she's coming for her friend, then they need to understand that Nebraska is always going to have my back as my partner. Mm-hmm. And that's just, if you're in a relationship and your partner wouldn't do that for you, then you probably need to get out of your relationship.
Mm. Work.
You know, unless it's more like Housewives where the husbands are getting involved and there's only one husband at the table, not talking about Aaron, but Aaron from Beverly Hills, you know, and all these women are like, hey, bitch, no, not happening. Uh-huh. But that's very different energy when there's women and men. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, we're all men that do drag. And so in or out of drag, we're still that same energy where we're not really feeling a certain way about, well, no, you can't talk to me like that. I'm in drag right now. Uh-huh. You know, so I just think that in or out of drag, we're going to have the same feelings towards each other.
I do. I am excited about this Drag Housewives universe because
I think it is very draggy Housewives. I think that's what I said our first episode of covering. And I was like, it's very Housewives and I'm here for it.
Yeah.
Right. Like what other franchises? Obviously, we're doing Vegas, but what other franchise would be great? Like New York? Probably.
I would love a New York, obviously, for Broadway. Mm-hmm. I mean, that just, I would love to see the Drag Race live show everywhere. I would love to see a Chicago version. Mm-hmm. Obviously New York. I just think that there's so much talent. There's so much talent in Chicago. I'm at Roscoe's, when things are normal. I'm there at least 3 times a year. Mm-hmm. And I just think that there's so much talent there and diversity. And I think that would be a great cast. And New York, just because of the live singing element, then you're really getting into drag divas because one girl's going to be pissed she didn't get the lead part. And then another one is mad that her mic was turned off during her performance. I mean, I would just love to see that. That's a whole nother element.
How about this scene? You come to New York to teach Bob the choreography. I mean, how good would that be?
Wait, speaking of New York, your catchphrase at the beginning of the episode is take a bite. What is it? It's take a bite.
Take a bite out of this big apple.
Why?
I have no idea. So originally we were told that we were going to have like our lines, our, you know, opening lines or whatever for that. Well, we never got to film those because it was cut short. So they took pieces of our interviews, of our confessionals.
Oh my
and
God.
It actually ended up airing in the show. I'm looking at the TV like it's over there, like, you know, but it ended up airing. I had said, you want a piece of me? Well, come and take a bite out of this big apple. Mm-hmm. And then they just put the big apple
the big
part.
Apple
and
part.
So many people are like, you're not from New York. You, what are you doing? So I made so many references. I was like, oh, well, I'm the one presenting the shiny red apple to all the girls. Mm-hmm. And I'm inspired by New York Tiffany Pollard. You can tell I love New York. And
that's so funny.
You know, I have New York on my mind. I got my eyes set on Broadway. I'm going there next. Like, I just had to come up with stuff because it made no sense. But
genius. Oh, well. They did you dirty there. They did you dirty.
They did. It was so confusing.
They did. It's so funny that someone pulled that and they're like, yeah, let's use Big Apple for Derek who lives in Vegas.
I know. So stupid. So stupid.
Well, I have a question. I'm going to ask this about everything, but one question I need to ask you that is, were there really sparks between Vanjie and Cameron?
Absolutely.
Oh,
yes.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Tell me more.
And I knew more. We all went out one night to Piranha, to the nightclub. And it's funny because those are really the only two that would work. I mean, Asia's engaged, so she's not going to be doing anything. I'm on Boyfriend Hoarders Edition, so I don't need to collect anymore. And Evie was also dating someone during filming. And then that just left Naomi. And so really, I didn't see Vanjie and Naomi. I didn't see Naomi and Cameron. And so I'm like, okay, well, it makes most sense that Cameron and Vanjie being from the same season, even though it was a limited time, they still traveled together and they toured together. And then before this show, they were on Work the World as well. So I think both of them had admitted, like, in the past in interviews that they found each other attractive. So I think that was just the next evolution, you mm-hmm. know, and because of what Cameron went through with her own relationship on the show, it was very easy for Vanjie and Cameron to have like a little rebound type of fling. And I just didn't think that Vanjie was ever going to date another drag queen after Brooklyn. Mm-hmm. I just didn't see that coming. But at the same time, I mean, she has a type, you know, like we've obviously seen her type. Uh-huh. She's got a type.
Like tall?
Tall, muscular, dancer.
Dancer. Yeah, exactly.
I did think Brooklyn is a good match for her, right? Because he is funny, but he's a grounding energy.
Yes.
And something tells me she needs that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I just think that Cameron, I really did see Cameron come out of her shell more during this show than Drag Race. And mm-hmm. so it's going to be very exciting to see Cameron on All Stars eventually, because I think that Cameron found her voice,
yeah.
like really did. And mm-hmm. it was nice to see that side of Cameron, because, you know, a lot of times he's quiet. He's just in the middle. He doesn't want to offend anybody, doesn't want to hurt anybody's feelings. And at the same time, I'm like, well, but when your friend is wrong, you need to tell them. And when someone else is wrong, you need to tell them. So mm-hmm. be that friend. Be that friend that's like going to speak up and say something.
Mm-hmm. Although I did love during most of the fights, Cameron would just sit still on camera, but so yeah. far in the background. Yeah. That made me laugh so hard. I was like, this, so because there's always a friend like that who's like, I can't do this, yeah. but I'm still here.
Yeah. I love that shot in the casino.
Yes,
where Cameron's
so
just
funny.
At the machine, at the slot person. Machine. Oh my God, that was so funny.
Obviously, you had, it's such a sickening cast. Who would you say surprised you the most? Like, maybe just as a performer or person?
Well, I knew when they were putting the show together that everyone had to be a dancer, because mm-hmm. it was very choreography heavy. I knew this theater because I had seen other people perform there before. And so I knew, because when I met Olivia Newton-John, she was at that theater, and we had to go up these stairs to get to the green room or the dressing rooms. So I knew that that's the only way up and down to the stage. So mm-hmm. we were running several times throughout the night. And so I knew this was going to be a show where we had to be in shape. We have to be ready for the productions, the choreography. I knew they were all performers and dancers because just watching them on Drag Race. Mm-hmm. So I think for the stage show, I mean, I'm obviously surprised by Asia's ability to just host an entire room. Mm-hmm. And I love when a host talks to the audience and doesn't just have a monologue and that's it. And that's all they know. And every night it's repeated. Even mm-hmm. though she had a script, she still would, if someone came in late during opening, she'd call them out. And that's my favorite. If someone's on their phone, she'd call them out. Mm-hmm. If someone's talking, call them out. And I love that. Like mm-hmm. that to me is that's a host that is like on their toes.
Asia's an incredible host.
Mom
and I saw her at Work the World. And
she's
I was
great.
Not shocked, but I was just like, so what's a good word? Just invigorated. I was like, oh my mm-hmm. God, yes, this is hosting. Cause you do see yeah. like lame ass hosts who like just stick to the script. Don't
the
play with the
thing.
Audience.
Yeah.
And there's standups who do the same thing where you're like, oh, you're not in the moment. Like
right.
yeah.
someone
exactly.
did something and you just looked at it and kept going with your set, as opposed to being like, what the fuck are you doing? And like
yeah.
dealing with it.
Yeah,
yeah, and
like,
then,
as a host, they just ask you to spin gold out of nothing. Like
yeah.
in Work the World, where
hosting
they pull
is hard.
Yes, they pull a few people on stage to like make them do a drag makeover. Mm-hmm. It's like
she made it so funny.
Yes,
mm-hmm. and she did that bit every night in Vegas with new people
mm-hmm.
For the slap contest, and she's just she's a fantastic performer and. And that's fun for me to see too, because most other shows I've been a part of, the host doesn't perform. They mm-hmm. host. So you're not going to see them dancing. You're not going to see them singing. And Asia does it all. So
yes.
that was not surprising to see, but exciting for me to see mm-hmm. live, because
I was, when I saw her lightsaber thing, I was floored.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable. And that's not even the production number that she wanted to do. That's one that was given to her because it's a part of the soundtrack for the show. What? So she, oh, we didn't even get to see Asia do what Asia wanted to do. And I think that that's probably going to be revamped when we reopen because she wants her own talent number, you know?
Yeah.
And I respect that.
I hope she plays the drums. Have you seen her play the drums?
I don't think so.
It's wild. Like, she's really talented. Whoa. Like, when I say, like, floored, I was like, God damn.
Yeah.
Hosting is one of the hardest things.
Yeah.
Because you're first up. The audience is cold. They're not warmed up. They don't know what they're in for. And then she just makes them laugh right off the bat. And then she comes back and you're like, and you're going to fucking dance your heart out. And there's drums.
It's a real skill.
Yeah.
I loved that.
I have a million questions. I have one question that is, so you get to do Womanizer in the show?
I do. Well, I rehearsed up until the last couple of days before opening. It was supposed to be Oops, I Did It Again into Toxic, into Until the World Ends. Mm-hmm. And they couldn't get clearance for Oops because it's a Max Martin song and Britney's Broadway show was opening. Her musical was opening in, I think it had like a pre-run. It was going to be in Chicago and then it was supposed to go to Broadway. So we couldn't use any Max Martin. So they replaced Oops with Gimme More. And I actually was so excited because I've never performed Gimme More on the Strip or Till the World Ends. I've been doing Toxic in other shows, but that was really scary a couple of days before opening to find out like, oh, and you can't do Oops. So we have to re-choreograph for Gimme More.
Damn.
Did you use the VMA choreography?
Not the VMA choreography.
They did her dirty. I'm still upset about the VMAs.
Yeah.
Specifically because I have gotten to see VMA rehearsals. So somebody watched her rehearsal and somebody said, yep, air it. Mm-hmm. And that person's a dick. That person really should have been like, hey, Britney, are you marking it? Or is this the actual performance? And if she said the actual performance, I would have said, for you, we're going to pull it. It was it was just fucked up.
The rehearsal was better. The rehearsal
was it?
What I thought her rehearsal was better because she was in her little sun hat and the crop top and the jeans. And it looked like Britney. Like that's what. Britney,
I don't think I've seen the rehearsal. I gotta,
really?
Search for it.
Haven't seen the rehearsal. Oh, yeah.
There's that one. And then there's also the choreographer in Britney's spot running the number.
Oh.
And that is incredible. Like, unbelievable.
Wow.
So I don't, I don't know. One thing I liked, I think it was for the record, they went through, MTV went through and did like Britney's most iconic VMA performances. Mm-hmm. And then, so they listed them all. And then she said, what about Gimme More? Did they say anything about Gimme More?
Oh, boy.
And they're like, no, that wasn't in there. And she's like, huh. So it's like, it's funny because she's confused that it's not a part of it. But at the same time, I feel like it's so iconic.
It is iconic.
Yeah.
It is.
We've never seen her do that before.
Shocking.
Mm-hmm.
Do you believe in Free Britney, the Free Britney movement?
Actually, now that more things have come out, I know in the very beginning of it, like when Eve wore the shirt on the talk and everything, I posted about it. And then I'm like, you know, it was when she came out and she put a video out on her Instagram and she's like, you guys, really, I need you to respect my privacy and leave my family alone and all this stuff. And I just thought, God, that's gotta be real. I don't believe someone made her say that. So as a fan and as an impersonator, I didn't want to push it to the point where it's causing more problems or more of that, like, I don't know, conflict, I guess, between fans. And but now that there's been so much more to light, absolutely. I mean, this is someone that I've seen her fortune just deplete over the years. but I've watched her sell out arenas and be the highest paying artist in a Vegas residency in the history of residencies. So I'm like, where's her money? Where's the money that Britney's worked for? And how is her fortune going down when she's a millionaire? It just, none of it makes sense. And then obviously everything coming out with how much lawyers are making a year and someone was getting a $300,000 raise. And I'm like, for what?
It's insidious. It's a complicated thing that like, I won't really speak on because I don't know enough, but I'm like, something's going on.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I just wish her the best. And
yeah. Me too.
From her Instagram, seems a little happier that she's not performing, but then also, I don't know. You know, like, I'm not there. I don't know the girl.
Yeah.
I hope she's okay.
And she's still dancing. She's, like, loving. She's obviously a performer. She needs to be on camera. She needs to be watched. You know, she knows that that's a part of her. It's innate in her. It's not even a learned behavior. Britney Spears was made to be a performer. And so that's another thing that's sad for me to see, because I did see her in Vegas. I've seen her all around the world for her shows. And it's undeniable that that person is made for the stage. And so to see videos on her Instagram and it's just her dancing and having fun. Of course, I like to see those. I would rather her be on stage doing it. But I also have to believe that if she's not making the money or she's not seeing the money, then that's a problem. And I know at one point, someone probably did need to step in and just be a financial advisor for her. I get that. But that was, we're talking 13 years ago now.
Yeah, a long time has passed.
You can't say that the girl that sold out a circus tour for the entire year of 2009 is not capable of making decisions when she toured for a full year. I mean, that just, it should have been a very limited time where her family stepped in and advised her, or, you know, possibly was there for her. Cause I will never know what it's like to go through a divorce and have kids. And I will never know what it's like to be that famous. So I can't imagine what that's like, but I do think that she has proved herself to be more than capable of making her own decisions. And this is not someone that is in need of the conservatorship in the way that conservatorships are meant to be.
I have a weird question, Derek. What's your favorite B-side weird Britney song? We're talking Phonography, Mona Lisa, Gasoline, Alien, Criminal. The song where you're like, I love that this made it onto an album.
There's some really good B-sides on the Britney album, the third one. Before the Goodbye or Runaway. It's all the ones off the Britney album.
Pre-Blackout.
I love the early Britney because, I mean, I love all the Britneys, like, let's be honest. But there's something about those that I'm shocked didn't make the album, because they're such good songs. And vocally, she's incredible in them. So I really like any of the Britney album besides.
So that one's your favorite album too?
Because I love Toxic, so I can't. It's between Britney and In the Zone for me. I'm always like,
In the Zone is great.
It's just it birthed Toxic. Like it, I have to give that album all the props it deserves. And Every Time was such a honest ballad.
Such a good song.
It's so good. So good. And she wrote, like, she's even playing the melody and saying how she came up with it in the ABC special. So I definitely think that In the Zone, probably because she had more to do with it. But Britney, I just love every song on there. I get so excited. I love Lonely. It's such a good one.
I love Blackout. I gotta say,
Blackout's a great album that she just wasn't able to promote. But it's like, it's a solid album.
It's every song on Blackout is great. I just, because I started impersonating Britney during the In the Zone era, everything I had to watch was from the Britney album, from the Live from Las Vegas DVD. And I that's the first tour I saw. It's the first concert I was ever at. Not just Britney, like first concert ever. Mm-hmm. And so I just love that album. And I have such a connection to the Britney album for that reason. It's like my first real, it's first time I saw her, you know, mm-hmm. like that's crazy.
Mm-hmm. I love it. I love it. I have more questions and too many, but the first one I need to ask is, what was it like when the show was getting Corona shut down? When Kovana Montrese came to the stage and said, this is my show.
Because you guys had a show and then were shut down day mm-hmm. of another show, right?
We found out on the way to work on Saturday night that that was going to be our last show.
Fuck.
Wow. It was March 14th. And I just remember, like, at least we knew. Because mm-hmm. some shows, I haven't been a part of other shows when they've closed, but I have heard from cast members that they didn't even know they were performing their last show. Mm-hmm. They found out after the fact, this uh-huh. was your last show. We're done. Pack up your stuff. And that's it. Mm-hmm. And so that would be devastating. I'm really happy that I haven't had to go through something like that. This was mm-hmm. the closest I will ever feel to that experience. But it was shocking because our audience was packed. I mean, we were only open 6 weeks and we were selling out shows all the time. And mm-hmm. so to perform on a Saturday night and other shows were already closing. So I knew it was going to happen to us. And Broadway had closed that Thursday, mm-hmm. just a couple of days before we did. And I knew once Broadway is done, then we don't stand a chance because we are the Broadway of the West Coast. Mm-hmm. And there's just too many shows here to keep some open and not mm-hmm. others. I know Legends tried to stay open, and that Monday they said, oh, you know, we're still selling tickets. Nothing's going to keep us dark. And they got red on social media. And then mm-hmm. they, you know, put out another statement. Okay, we're actually going to close until further notice. And I'm like, yeah, duh.
I mean, it's just irresponsible to sell tickets. Because it's like, I could do shows and I can keep myself safe because I'm a singular person. I bring my own mic. I demand that everyone is in the front row, at least with a mask. But then it's like, I'm asking these people to come together to sit mm-hmm. next to each other mm-hmm. in a closed space. Yeah. So I'm going to put hundreds of people at risk for what? Like, I think that's the thing that people don't get. Mm-hmm. This whole virus has been very interesting, to say the least.
Well, that's when we didn't know. Everyone's like, wash your hands. And it's like, bitch, it's coming out of your mouth. But back then, we're like, just wash your hands.
Yeah. For 20 seconds.
Yeah.
Listen to a full chorus of oops.
Honestly, when I started seeing that in bathrooms, I was like, the fuck is wrong with everybody? Do we not know it was... I mm-hmm. washed my hands for like 30 seconds. That's what my mother taught me. And I just thought it was like everyone knew it was 20 to 30 seconds. And I was like, oh, we got to sing choruses now? Mm-hmm. That's what we're doing? And then I flew back to LA that first weekend in March. That was like my last weekend of shows. I like mm-hmm. flew back and I was in the bathroom. And I remember just like a line of women washing their hands, looking around at each other. And I was like, this isn't a performance. Wash your fucking hands and move the fuck on. It was so wild.
It was weird.
So nuts.
And then also I'm like, why everyone, like, especially airlines, oh, we're doing deep cleanings and we're doing this. And
you weren't,
I'm like,
doing that before?
Why weren't you doing that before? Ugh. I mean, ew.
Before the pandemic, would wipe down my seat. But then I saw this video of Naomi Campbell and she like really deep, like, so then I started like really fucking deep cleaning my seat. And I remember flying home and the flight attendant was like, oh, so you're really getting that clean. And I was like, yeah, you stupid bitch.
Yeah, duh.
There's something in the air and we don't know what.
We don't know it. We don't get it. I love it. I have a few listener questions.
Oh, cute.
Before we let you go, if that's all right.
Of course. I love listener questions.
Are you ready, Nicole?
Yes, I am.
Here's the first one, and it's very pointed. Was India Farah offered the Vegas show?
I have been politely asked to not discuss
okay
that person.
Okay,
but India is a beautiful country that I've toured. I got to do New Delhi, Mumbai, and one more. I can't remember because I wasn't prepared for this question. But I love the country India, and it's beautiful.
Work. Next question. How is your relationship with your AS5 sisters?
Oh, gosh. Pre the Decider interview or post the Decider interview? Because I got in trouble for some things that I said that were offensive, I guess.
I don't think I've read it. I pulled up my phone and I'm going to bookmark it now.
Yeah. I had made this is what I accidentally did. I took two thoughts and I put them together. And in one sentence, it wasn't great because I had said something about half stars. The cast was half stars. And then I said I would have loved to have been top three with Shay and Jujubee. Mm-hmm. So I can't mix those two thoughts because obviously then it doesn't make sense that I only like two of the cast members. And that's absolutely not what I had meant. And I wish I would have clarified that. But because I wasn't there long, I just didn't feel a huge connection to that cast. There were, you know, the two Vegas girls that I wasn't super close with, at the time. Alexis and I are closer now. But then there was also, I think, three LA girls that all had each other's backs. And then there were girls from other seasons that had each other's backs. So I was the only one from season 8, kind of by myself there. And I think that's why when I saw Shay and Jujubee, I was excited because I'm like, oh, they're on their own too. They don't have friends from their season. And so I think that I'll just continue probably to feel like an outsider in the drag race competition franchise because I do Britney. And yes, there's other things that I would have loved to have done on the show. But at the same time, I need to realize that my drag is just different than theirs. And that's what's kept me working for so many years. And that's what has kept me in three Vegas shows. Mm-hmm. And I would hope that I can be closer with some of them in the future. But it's really hard to feel close to people that I don't feel like really value what I do or think what I do is special. Because I think they're all great and they're all fantastic. It's definitely not a season that I thought was going to go the way that it did. And I think watching it was even more frustrating because I'm like, how can you send yourself home on All Stars when I got sent home and I shouldn't have even been in the bottom, in my opinion. So that was
you mean in All Stars?
In All Stars. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes,
I just,
of course.
It's hard to watch that season and know that I got sent home and other girls were like, okay, it's time for me to leave. You know, I'm just going to leave. I'm going to vote for myself. And I'm like, bitch, where was that energy? You know, episode one. Mm-hmm. So I don't know how close I'll be with a lot of them. Jujubee is like the one I talk to the most. And that's because we had a friendship that was built 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. And Shay is someone I obviously absolutely agree with winning. And I think she did a fantastic job. Everyone did a great job on that season. And I just don't know. I'm not even really that close with my season 8 sisters though, because we all do our own thing. We're all constantly on the road. We're all doing our own projects. And so, yeah, we have a group message and we can check in with each other. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I don't know how close I'll ever feel to a lot of the queens from the franchise. Because the first thing they do is, well, he does Britney. That's not really drag. And I'm like, you can't say that about my drag when there's things that you do that other people don't think is drag. And I'm out there saying all drag is valid and you are saying celebrity impersonation isn't, or I took the easy road, or I don't like the judgment and the criticism inside the community and from the community. So drag queens can say all they want that it's a sisterhood and we all love each other, but it's not true. And that's what's hard for me to see. And I speak on that and I say it and some people don't like that, But that's honest. Like, there's a lot of girls that will come for your gig and will take a lower rate to make sure that you don't get the gig. That will make up stories so you don't get a gig. It's like, I don't do that. And I think that there's more work. There's enough work to go around for everybody. We're all so different, but a lot of people, you know, you find out who is really insecure in this business when you find out the things that they say behind your back.
That I let the church say,
hallelujah,
hallelujah. Oh my God, you are. We'll end on this question. What is next for the amazing Derek Barry?
I'm most excited to obviously get back to work in the Vegas show. But then also I'm putting together my voiceover reel because I'm not going to let something that happened on All Stars, like, you know, I did the celebrity impersonations and obviously it wasn't enough time to commit to those characters. And, you know, I got some good feedback and some not so good. But that's really what I want. That's really what I've always wanted to do. I love doing voices. I love characters, things like that. So it would be so fun to get into that market. And that gives me a little bit of a break from what I'm known for doing. And then I get to be appreciated vocally versus aesthetically. And I think moving forward in the future, that's something I can do forever. I can do it from home. I can do it from a studio. And I've always loved celebrity impersonations and then my own kind of character voices as well. And that was one thing I loved that was highlighted on Vegas Review, is me just putting on different wigs and coming up with different voices for these wigs.
Yes.
And people finally were like, oh my God, Derek's so funny. We love that. That's so good. And I'm like, well, that's exactly what I did on All Stars. I just didn't change wigs. So it's like, you know, you just, it's the right time, right place. And I think that when not in a competition setting is really where I get to just be myself and shine. And I want it all. I want SNL and I want movies and TV shows and stage shows and Broadway and all of it. I want season two of Vegas Review for sure.
And you deserve a producer bump. I mean, talk to your reps.
Come on, Karina. What is it? Creative consultant?
Creative consultant, oh my story God. Editor, back end, front end. You were really made this series pop and you're an icon. And we're so glad you came back, Derek.
Yes, thank you so much.
I'm so happy to be back. Yeah, thank you for asking me. And thanks for loving the show. You know, it's really it's really exciting to be a series premiere or a spinoff and have people love it and appreciate the work that went into it. And know, you know, when you're in the business, you look at it differently. And so I'm very happy that there's been people from the inside or behind the scenes of television and film that are like, well, if Derek wasn't on it, we wouldn't have had a show. And that makes me very happy to know that, it made people uncomfortable at times and you can call it cringe or whatever you want, but it was entertaining and I'll do it again.
And she won't even say oops.
It. It's like a no threat. Oops. I'll do it again. I will do it again.
Oh, well, as always, thank you for listening. Find me and Nicole on the onlines. Anything else you want to promote, Derek, before we go?
Some music that I came out with Nebraska and Velo over the summer. You can find it all on Spotify, iTunes. It's streamable. It's buyable. It's all of it. And it was a lot of fun. The first one we did a video for was Bitch Please. Then we did Tequila Sunrise. Sexy, Warzone, and Flauna. And Flauna is one of my favorite songs. A producer, Dad's Mayo, out of Australia, and he's incredible. And it's fun. It's fun to do fun music and just channel something different. So that was a lot of fun. I would love to do more of that, and I want people to check it out and see that I'm not just a little Britney.
Absolutely. The link will be in the episode description. So find it right where you're listening to this podcast.
Yay.
And rate and review us on whatever podcast app you're listening to us on. And because we love it. We love it so much.
Yes. Also, make sure you drop off your ballots. I think in California, the little boxes close at 8 p.m. on election day. So make sure you get there before then. Mm-hmm. Make sure you're registered to vote. I think registration in a lot of states, some have closed, some are till like October 27th. Election day is the 3rd. Make sure you vote. Make sure you do some research on the measures and the fucking props because they're worded to confuse you. Mm-hmm. Boy. Yeah.
And mask yourself up, bitch.
Yeah, wear a mask. Ask a friend to wear a mask. Let's keep our germs to ourselves because I don't know. I'm not trying to die because some ugly ass bitch breathed on me. You know, like it's just that's not what I want my legacy to be. Okay.
No, that's not it. Legacy. Well, till next time.
Toodaloo, bitches.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.